So last week we discussed ensuring that you're ready before you start dating. Dating out of equilibrium, out of a balanced state of mind. And this week we'll continue with actually getting a date, going out on a date, etc. So how do you get a date? Let's start with some do's and don'ts. Don't go to a bar. Try to pick up some girl that just seems nice at a bus stop. If these sound funny to you, good. But every year we have a few stories like this, where a guy meets girl at bar and then asks, is it a good shidduch? And rabbi asks guy, what do you know about the girl? And guy says, she looks good. So, I don't think you'd think that that should be the only criterion. And every year there's guy meets girl at bus stop, or guy meets girl on bus, or guy meets girl on plane. Look, you hit it off on the conversation, you want to go out with the girl. So find out more about who she is, where she's coming from. Why should a guy go out with a girl for 3 months only to discover that she has AIDS? You know, you'd be better off knowing that beforehand, I think. And I could tell you stories the rest of the night about guys who did this and went out with girls and didn't do any due diligence and then found out things that were really, really detrimental that they could have found out earlier. It's really an exercise in futility, and I know no one likes what I'm saying now. Yes?
Is that usually something you ask on the first date?
No. You do not ask the girl, hey, do you have AIDS? No. Is there anything you'd like to share with me? No, you don't ask that. In a minute, we'll discuss how, not now, I hope we'll get to it today, the discussion of how you actually research a girl. But, yes?
How do you know? Because you can have, you can be set up on the shidduch for various websites that are very shut for me, but unless the girl's not necessarily going to say, by the way, I have AIDS.
Wait, let's get there.
I'm saying, what's the difference of how you would find that out, whether you meet someone by chance on a plane,
right,
or you get set up on a shidduch?
Granted.
There's information that you're not going to know, or the shotgun isn't going to know, until you find out yourself down the road. So this information is not necessarily clarifiable before.
Okay, so I give a bad example. Let's take the guy who dated a girl, and they're dating for 3 months, and then I ask him, did you check her Facebook account? And he says, no. And I say, do you mind? Let's just go into those for 1 minute, and let's see her history. And suddenly you discover she's been in prison, etc., etc. All kinds of things that a little bit of due diligence would have brought up. And now you want to date a girl who's come out of prison for slashing her ex-boyfriend. That's fine. But just realize what you're up against. That's fine. You can do, it's your call. It's your life.
Listen, but are you saying that anyone was set up with through a proper channel?
No, I'm not saying that yet. I began with don'ts. I didn't get up to the do's. Wait, okay. We'll get there. Yeah.
I don't know if I should phrase it in like question form or accusation form. So I'll put question form because I think it's more respectful. But you'll understand.
I'm getting all defensive.
No, like you said, there, it's a good question or fair. Like, is there other ways, are the only ways that one can meet a girl that can be a potential shidduch or whatever or wife through either shadchan or bus stop or plane or bar? Like, there are other ways, and there should be legitimate ways too. No.
Granted, you go to a friend, you spend Shabbos, you have a Shabbos meal there, and either he has a cousin over, his wife has a friend over, or you're at an event and you see someone and you start talking and you hit it off. There are many different venues. Today they're making these events every week. You could get onto an internet list, and every week there's another event that they have for singles to meet and mingle, and they're done in a tzanua form. They have those that are done nicely, not like going out to a bar. There are many ways, there are many venues that are different than the classical shadchan. Ordinarily, you would want to be set up through someone that knows you, or not necessarily knows you, but an intermediary. The idea of a shadchan adds certain respectful decorum to the system. There's something respectful about not picking up a girl at a street corner. Hey, you seem nice. You want my card? what do you know about me? You know, it's really degrading and demeaning. You know nothing about the girl. We believe that a relationship is built between two people and two personalities. And usually all these pickups are really not about either one. They're about the looks. You want to pick. You want to date a girl who can be a good match for you. Then it's logical that you need to know more than meets the eye on the surface. Does that mean, as Yaakov correctly pointed out, that every shadchan is telling you the truth? No, we'll get there. Yeah.
Okay. So let's see. First of all, I mean, if you're meeting a girl through a shadchan or at one of these programs, like, isn't it just as random as meeting a girl on the street? And second of all, I mean, I understand not meeting your girl at a bar because, you know, there's alcohol probably involved. But, like, I mean, street corner, I mean, I get what you're saying, it's not a nice place. But, like, let's say if you, like, started speaking to a girl in a library or, like, in a Spartan story,
I think that that's legitimate. If you know, sometimes you're standing at a farm store and a girl is looking into a safer and she says, you know, there was a guy in his farm store when the girl asked the seller, I'm looking for a picture book for my nephews with animals where there are live pictures, where they could see real pictures of the animals. And the guy who was standing at the checkout said, hey, I just bought my nephew picture book just like that. Let me show you. Feldheim has a picture book with very nice information on animals. And the seller didn't know, and the guy at the checkout counter did know. And he went out, and he went and he looked for the book, and he showed the girl the book. And then they started talking, and from there they ended up dating and whatever. Okay, I can hear that. It's different. I'm addressing the fact that guys will very often be on the lookout. They're very, very interested in finding a girl in there. And therefore they're willing to make attempts in many directions that are far shots, and they're really demeaning themselves and they're demeaning the girls. The fact that something could happen, you could be sitting next to someone on a plane, it could happen that you strike up a conversation with someone at a bar mitzvah, at a bris, at a farm store, yes. But more often than not, it's futile attempts that really are rooted with, a desire that a person doesn't know how to meet. People are looking to date and they're not sure how to move forward with it. Okay, so we'll discuss in a second venues that make sense. It's a nice story to be able to tell your kids, I met your mom at a farm store. Right, but how many people meet their wives at a farm store? Logically, statistics are not for in your favor. What?
Like a library or a coffee shop. Something that's like nicer than a tree corner.
The question is, what are the odds that you'll succeed and what are the odds that you'll end up with someone who is not exactly what you think it is?
I was once sitting in J2 Pizza, which is like Jewish kosher pizza place in the city, and I was reading a Sefer, and a girl came up to me and was like, oh, I just finished reading that book. So like, if I had started talking to that girl, would that be like...
I don't think you could say that's the end of the world. I think that l'chatchila Chazal wanted us to work through an intermediary, but if you have a scenario where you have an opportunity and you have no other way to follow through on that opportunity, then it is legitimate to work on that opportunity, even though there isn't an intermediary. You're sitting at a Shabbos table or whatever. There can be a scenario like you're saying. 100% right. There will be scenarios where it's do or die. It's like either you take the other person's contact information or you're not going to have any contact with that person. You ended up sitting next to someone on a plane, then you ended up talking, and then it seemed like you guys hit it off. So you exchange contact information. What you should still do is invest a little bit of time and find out who the person is. We had a guy here who dated a girl, did not do due diligence. When they hit engagement time, he found out she had 4 or 5 broken engagements behind her. A lovely girl. What do you think happened in their engagement? Also broken engagement. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't marry this girl. As far as I know, right now, years have passed. She's in her late 30s. She might have had another broken engagement or two, but never married. So she's somewhere near 40 now. I'm not saying the guy shouldn't have dated her. But, you know, why shouldn't he do it out of intelligence? Why shouldn't he do it with information? If he knew she had 5 broken engagements behind her, maybe he would have played it differently. Maybe not. But it's worth knowing. The guy here was dating a girl. I'm telling you, I could tell you stories. This happens every month or two. People don't listen to me, and they learn the hard way. So, fine. You know, whatever. I can only warn. You gain by doing due diligence. The reason people don't do due diligence is because very often they haven't had a date in 6 months and they're dying to date a girl, and it, to some degree they say, let's try it out, what difference does it make? And that's why we're going to discuss and stress the ideas of how, what are the do's? How do you end up dating a girl? How do you find your wife? So we'll get to that in a minute. Yes?
I was going to say, in the long run, do you want to date someone who is coming up to you in a pizza restaurant to say,
I didn't want to say that. That's his call. That's not my call.
No, but I'm saying that if you're looking for a proper Jewish home,
to each his own.
Someone who's going to do something that no one should be doing.
I'm not going there. I think it's very important, Dafka, in dating to... I think, as a shadchan, my job is not to be judgmental. Meaning, if a person feels comfortable with it, I'll tell you a story. A girl called me up. She was dating a guy. She says, I know you know this guy, and I'm not sure whether I should continue with him. He's completely improper. He gave me a hug on the first date. So something about the way she said it didn't ring right, so I gently asked her, you know, just so I understand, if you want me to have a word with him, is there a time that you feel it would have been proper that he would have given you a hug? And she says, the 5th date, the 6th date, but the 1st date. So, okay, so that's her perspective. I'm saying, you know, she didn't have a concept of being Shomer Negiah. So, he obviously didn't have a concept of being Shomer Negiah. I don't think that my job is to pull up my beard and say, I'm a rabbi, I'm going to tell you guys what you should do. Meaning, I think we have to discern. There's my job when I'm teaching halacha and what we're supposed to do, etc. And my job as a shadchan is totally different. I'm not coming to tell them what they should do, but you know, you understand that in such a scenario, I'm going to tell the guy, you're going too fast for her. She wasn't prepared for a hug on the first date, and she's uncomfortable with it. You have to respect that. But I'm not going to say a word about Nagia, because to her, that's not the issue. And to him, that's not the issue. So my job as a shadchan isn't to be a rabbi. My job as a shadchan is to work with them where they're both holding in life, and see if it can match or cannot match. And that's why over here, I Bedavka didn't address that, because that's a person has to call on their own. You know, some people want a girl that's very outgoing. Some people want a girl that'll walk over to them at the pizza shop and say, hey, I just read that book. And that's their business. That's
so
their...
That's
something to consider. That's something to consider. See, I don't see a point in these arguments, because it's legitimate for each person to have their approach. This isn't a class in ideals. This isn't a class in how to make it work given who you are, where you are in life. Where you are, that's the question, and then we figure it out. I've set up people who are not Shomer Torah and Mitzvot altogether. They're not Shomer Shabbos or Kashrus, but they also have to get married. Okay? Yeah.
So I guess you mentioned intermediaries and how those are like good or necessary or proper or better. Would a proper, I should have this issue, I suppose, with that the intermediary has to be like someone says, like, I know you, get together, shadchan, not shadchan, whatever, Shabbat table, whatever it might be, friend. But what about if it's like would an acceptable intermediary be like, say someone was on birthright, and they got along well with the madrich or madricha, and then ended up, you know, seeing that there's a lot in common, and moving on from there. Like, would birthright be a proper intermediary? or
so let's get to there. We haven't yet gotten to the whole idea. Let's get there. So we discussed a little bit of don'ts. Now, what are the do's? So the first step is to let the people you know who care about you and you care about them, let them know that you're interested in getting married. If they can think of a proper match, they should. The second step is to remind them. Because people, all those people, you let them know. So after an hour or 10 minutes, you're out of their mind. It's on with life. You're interested in getting married. They're also interested in your getting married on a theoretical level. But how often do they think? How often do they think, do I know someone who matches for him? So depending on your situation, some guys get an offer every day or every few days. And fine, that's okay. Some guys don't get an offer in 3 months, 4 months, 6 months, a year. So under such circumstances, and I was there, the reason I started dealing in Shidduchim was specifically because of that, because when I made Aliyah, I wasn't getting any offers. And I was pretty upset. I felt like, where are all my friends? How come we're all friends when we're learning together, when we're talking together, but somehow no one has a shidduch, their sister's friend, something, nothing that makes sense, a cousin. It was a huge disappointment to me, and I decided between me and myself that Bezrat Hashem, I will try to help people find their matches. So what I did at the time was that whenever someone married, someone who I knew had contacts, would ask me, how you doing? I'd say, Baruch Hashem, not so good. And they'd say, what's wrong? And I'd say, well, it's been a month, 2 months, 3 months. I can't remember the last time you offered me a shidduch. Here I am single. And I don't believe that I've heard from you any offers. I don't see how I'm going to get out of this. And then they'd say, really? It's so bad? And I'd say, what do you mean? You're not offering me. He's not offering me. How am I ever going to get married? What do you mean it's so bad? Yes. So people were taken aback by it. But you know what? They'd go home and ask their wives. And, you know, the first time you do it, so the guy laughs and he thinks it's a shtick. The second time you do it, they start feeling a little bit uncomfortable. And if that's what it takes, fine. I don't think a person should be embarrassed. A person should feel comfortable calling his friend, saying, you know, I haven't had any offers in the last month or two, and maybe you could discuss with your wife. Maybe you can think of someone. I admire the people who do that. I did it. I don't see why not. It's a little bit embarrassing. So what? It's much better to be married. And the fact of the matter is that people forget you. Yeah, they know you. They like you. They'll invite you for a Shabbos meal. But will they sit there and talk to their wife? Maybe we could think of someone new for this person. Maybe we have someone else that matches this person. Most people don't do that. And if they do, they do it once. They don't do it twice. Another issue which you guys can help change, and Bezrat Hashem, when you guys yourself can offer the girls that you know to other people, you don't have to wait to be married to do shidduchim. I know plenty of single people who already were mishadech, plenty of people. And whenever I'd end with a girl, I'd stay in the base medrash and look around the base medrash and look and see, do I have any friends that match for this girl? I used to go around Merkaz Arav and tell people, why don't you set up guys? You know, there are guys here who haven't had a single shidduch in 6 months. And one of the answers I'd get is, I'm not a shadchan and I don't have the skill. To which I'd say, neither am I. But what difference does it make? You could still set two people up. Tell the guy, this isn't my skill, but I'll tell you about the girl. I'll tell you what I know about her. See if it makes sense to you. Let the guy mix it. Let him rule it out. But let him have what to think about. And I tell you the same thing. If there are girls you know, and you've dated a girl, and you see you don't match, or there are other girls you know for whatever reason, or when you'll be married, Bezrat Hashem, so make it your business to set other people up. There's a terrible thing that people don't set other people up. It's really terrible. you guys know it to some degree, and I'm telling you, it's a problem. Part of the problem, to my mind, is that when people actually do succeed in setting up a shidduch, they don't get compensated for it. You could spend a lot of money making phone calls. You could spend a lot of time trying to set people up, and you get treated like trash. I had people who I'd call up and they'd say, oh, it's you again. Like, they're doing me the favor. Okay, fine. I already set up some of those people with their spouses. But the treatment was like trash. And consistently so. So why would a person want to be a shadchan if they're treated badly? After you set up a shidduch, people call you and barrage you and ask you questions, and they take of your time endlessly, and then they don't think like they have to give you anything. I remember one couple I accompanied for weeks, up and down, and to doctors to verify medical situations and everything under the sun. And then you set up the shidduch, and what you get is a nice card. Thank you for your time. That's very nice. You know, just the cost of the phone conversations between me and them, and those were the days that you'd pay a fortune for cell phone conversations, was over 1,000 shekel. It's not fair. I'm saying people don't compensate, so it's a little bit understandable that people aren't so into setting up shidduchim. Go to the Haredi world, where they give a person does a shidduch, he gets $5,000, $10,000. You know, the shadchanim here up the block, they take for every shidduch $13,000. Okay, if you'd get dollars, I said. I meant dollars. $13,000, yeah, you could live off of that. It pays to set up shidduchim. It's a worthwhile thing. In this community, people set up shidduchim and they get nothing for it. And if they get something for it, it's a meager thing. And then people wonder why people aren't so into it. Okay, so I'm saying, you guys, when someone sets you up, if Bezrat Hashem, they get the right one. So you should think that there is a logic to compensate. And the treatment, saying, how do you treat a shadchan? I had a guy now who I set up, and I really don't know him well. I don't even know how he got to me. He sent me his contact information, and I had one girl who I thought made sense for him. I don't have anything else that makes sense, but one girl I thought really matched for him. So I call him up, and I give him the information. I tell him, look into it. If it makes sense, let me know. The guy was such a mensch. He calls me back a day later. He can't reach me. He emails me right away. He says, look, I looked into it. I have another offer that makes more sense to me, so I'm putting this on hold. Half a week goes by, he sends me another email. I looked into her some more, and the way I understand, she's a very fine girl. He gives her two or three sentences of praise and says, but I don't think it makes sense for me. Please have me in mind if you have someone else. You know what? He's the first guy who ever did that. Most guys, you try to set them up, they feel like if they're going to say no, then they're sliding you. They don't even come back to you. You have to chase after them. The guy doesn't give you an answer if it's a no. Why not? Why not come back and say, no, I don't think it matches. So I'll tell you why guys don't like to do it. Because there are a lot of shadchanim that are nudniks. You say no, and they say, oh, you're being too picky. You're never going to get married like this. They don't even hear you out. And you say, what do you mean? I don't think it matches. And they say, why don't you just give it a shot? Why don't you go out on a date? Come on. Yeah, how do you think you'll ever get married? And then they become all pushy, and then people don't want to talk to them. They want them to offer the shidduchim, but they don't want to put up with all their nudnikiness. And I understand that. But we still have to be a mensch. If you want people to set you up, you have to treat them decently. Return a phone call. And if you think the shidduch doesn't make sense, so tell them. Either going to be nudnik, so you have to be polite with nudniks too in Melasso. You know? And you could blame me. You can always say, I went to a whole series on dating, and we were told that it's very important that if our research comes out that it's not, and you could blame me, and I get shadchanim calling me and arguing with me, and that's okay. I have the patience for it. But you should call back, because I could tell you the way I work. If I offer a guy a shidduch and he doesn't come back to me, so for 6 months I probably won't set him up again. Because in my mind, I offered him something. Must be he had a better offer. I gave him the best offer I could think of. If he didn't follow through on it, must be he keeps having better offers than my best offer. So why should I chase after him? If he thought it wasn't it, he should have come back and told me that's not it. He looked into it and it doesn't make sense. But if he didn't come back to me, then to my mind, that means he keeps getting better offers than that one. Well, you know what? I gave him the best I had. So after 6 months, if I have time, I'll give the guy a call and I'll find out where it's holding. Usually I don't have time, and whatever. Next time I have an idea, I'll try. Because I gave him the best I had. So if you come back and you tell the shadchan, look, I heard your offer, I looked into it, I think the girl has a lot of positive attributes, I don't think we match. It's legitimate for the shadchan to tell you, I need to understand why you don't think it matches. Because as a shadchan, you get a picture of who the person is and what they're looking for. I could tell you many of the shidduchim we made. We tried once, and the girl said, he's too serious. We tried a second time, the girl said, he's too funny. We tried a third time, the girl said, that's almost right, a little bit more serious. And then, boom, you get it. Meaning, I'm giving you a funny example, but I'm saying, very often, as a shadchan, the person tells you a little bit more like this, a little bit less like that, you understand what they're looking for, you could set them up better. So it's legitimate to ask, you know, if you could explain to me what didn't make sense to you, I'll know, I'll have a better picture of what type of person to set you up with. I don't think you should speak badly about any girl when you talk to a shadchan, even after a date. We'll get back to that later. But if the girl doesn't seem right to you, so you could say in a positive way, you know, I think I need someone who's more on the quiet side. You hear that she's a girl who slaps the guy in the back or whatever, you know. You hear that she's a girl that's very, very outgoing. I told you guys the story about the girl who pulled the key out of the ignition in the middle of the date. A girl, they were in the middle of a date, they stopped at a light, and the girl asked the guy a question, and he didn't want to discuss it. So she pulled the key out of the ignition and said, I'm not giving it back till you tell me the answer. So they're sitting at the light, and all the cars are starting to honk behind them. And this is where they're holding. So for this guy was a very, very soft-spoken guy. And he didn't know what to do with himself. But he understand that he comes back to the shadchan, and shadchan says, what was wrong? She's such a good girl. So he can say it in a nice way. You know, she's very filled with life, and it's wonderful. But I think I need a girl who's a little bit less filled with life. You know, a little bit. You could say it in a nice way. And it's important to say it in a nice way. So at any rate, coming back to the point, one of the do's is try to get people you know to set you up. You tell the people you know that you're interested in dating, your aunts, your uncles, your cousins, your neighbors, your friends, your roommates. Everyone should know. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. On the contrary, if they know, then hopefully they'll set you up. A side point, people sometimes think that the only person who could set you up is someone who knows you really, really well. I could tell you that at least, I think, 50% of the people we set up, now listen to this statistic, the first time I spoke to the guy was the time I set him up with his wife.
What?
First time I had a conversation with the guy was the time I set him up with his wife.
50% of the time?
I think 50% of the shidduchim we set up, close to that, yeah.
And that was the first, you were
the first conversation I had with the person was the conversation in which I set him up with his wife. Okay?
Now what's the statistic on the other side?
What do you mean?
Like when the first conversation you have with a girl and setting her up, do you set her up with her husband?
I don't know if I ever did that. I don't know. Okay. I have to think about that. I don't know. I don't think I ever got a girl on the first shot. I don't think I ever was able to set up a girl with the first guy I set her up with as her husband. I don't think so. But I don't remember. My wife would remember better. I don't remember. Guys, yeah, girls not. Interesting, I never thought of that. So at any rate, I'm just saying there's this fear that people feel like he doesn't know me or he doesn't know the girl so well, how's he going to set me up? You see, it's not true. You see, the person who set me up met me twice. Was the wife of a friend of mine. I ate at their house twice. I think it was twice. It might have been once. I think it was twice. Okay. So that they, you know, in order to set someone up, check it by its merits. They offer you a girl. Look into it. Does it make sense? Does it not make sense? Don't go with this concept. They have to know me the best. Sometimes someone who knows you really well knows the right girl. And sometimes all the people who know you well don't know the right girl. So that's it.
If you're offered by people who know you sometimes or not, but say one or the other, and you yourself are just not in the place where it's the right time for you to be dating, you still think it's wise to do the research or just no. not even to think about it if you're not going to accept the offer most likely anyways at that time?
I would say that you have to consider whether it makes sense to get a notebook and write down the names of the people and the names of the girls they want to set you up with. The reason that's important is because if I come to you and I tell you, look, I had an idea for you, and you tell me I'm not dating now. So I say, fine. You come back to me 6 months later and say, what about that girl? I'm going to ask you, what girl? I have no idea what girl I had in mind 6 months ago. So that's why it's important. If you're going to set up such a notebook, then I think you should set up a notebook in which you write who had the idea, what their telephone number is, and what was the name of the girl they had in mind. I would think that in more than 6 months' time, you have to wonder whether it's worth it. I'm saying, if you think you'll start dating within 6 months to a year, let's say up to a year, it might make sense to start such a notebook. Because people won't remember in a year what they were thinking. If someone has an idea now, it makes sense. But if it's going to be more than a year before you start dating, let's say a year, not 6 months, then I don't think so.
What's the situation?
If a person knows he's not going to date for the next few months, he's not interested in starting to date. And people come and offer him. They say they have an idea of a girl that matches for him. So I think that a person shouldn't turn it down without taking down some information. Ask them what the girl's name is and what their phone number is.
Oh, okay.
And then if you'll be available in 3 months, and 6 months, whenever you decide you start dating, you could get back to them. Yeah?
There is two things. One, I'm reminding you. And the second thing is the 1,300 shekel of devotion.
You're reminding me what?
See?
I don't know.
He's going to send me a bunch of
up. Ah.
You see it already.
Would you remind me? Okay. Coming back to the do's. So we said, first do is tell people who know you. You're interested in going out. Number two and three are close seconds. One is shadchanim, and two is the internet. Now, if you go back to my classes 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I was very much against the internet because we had a lot of horror stories here in the Machon with internet dating, where a guy was dating a girl on the internet and it was going great, and he took his life savings and flew out. I don't remember if it was England or Holland or somewhere in Europe. And they made up. She'd pick him up at the airport, and he shows up at the airport, and she told him she has a place where he could stay and they'd be dating for a week or two. And he's at the airport and he calls her cell number and there's no answer. He calls the second time, there's no answer. And he waits an hour and he calls again, and she was supposed to meet him at the airport and she's not there and there's no answer. And half a day goes by and a whole day goes by and she's not there. He needs a place to sleep and she's not answering, and he emails her and there's no answer. And to make a long story short, she was married. Okay, he's dating this girl and everything's going great. And he flies out and she knows he's taking his life savings, and he comes out to this country to date her to see if it matches. And everything seemed so great all this time over the internet. 3 months of his life burnt. And the guy comes back, he's lost all his savings over nothing. And the girl didn't even have the decency to tell him, not before he flew, not after he flew. He found out a different way. Okay, so that's one horror story. We had many horror stories here where guys really got burnt badly on internet dating, where the information was very far from being factual. So that's why up until this year, I was very against internet dating. I said it should be a last resort. Why am I changing my stance? Because what I discovered is that guys had a very hard time getting any normal shidduch out of a shadchan. They really found that shadchanim, some guys hit it off and they get very good offers often, and some guys just get nothing. It's like a dry well. You come once, you come twice, you come a third time, nothing. So there are also horror stories from shadchanim. Shadchanim who are nosy, shadchanim who are abusive, shadchanim who set people up with misinformation. They didn't bother telling him the girl was married twice and had three kids at home. He thought he's dating a single girl, a bachelor. You know, we had horror stories of shadchanim too. So I have a rule about shadchanim that says, if not all, then most shadchanim are liars, except for me, and you can't know that I'm not lying, so assume I'm a liar too. It's a problem. The real threat with the internet is that you really have no clue who you're dating. But it's gotten easier today because with Facebook and MySpace and even YouTube, you do a search for a person's name, you do a search for a person's email address, you can see a lot about them. I don't think they'll friend you before the first date. Some people put a lot of information out there without the first date. Without being a friend, you could see a lot of their information. And afterwards, I definitely recommend after one date, you should friend the person. Defriend them after you've broken up. But friend them for that period. You got to see their history. We had a guy who was dating a girl. He was sure her father was dead. I said to him, no, her father's very much alive and she's in touch with him. And here's a picture on Facebook. You know, she had one of those accounts where you could see everything. And they're dating very seriously and they're they've already dated many times, and he thinks it's super serious, and he thinks she has no dad. And I told him, did you ever check her Facebook account? No, he's an innocent Joe. So we went into the office, checked the Facebook account, and 5 minutes later, he suddenly realizes her father's alive. She has stepsisters that she never told him about. There's a whole world in her life that's very active as he's dating her. He could see that just yesterday. She went out to town with her stepsister. They went out for milkshakes. And they took pictures and put it on her Facebook account, which is great. But why didn't you tell him this? If it's so serious, how come he's under the impression her father's dead and he doesn't know she has stepsisters? Okay? In today's world, it gets a little easier. So you still have to do your homework, and we'll discuss how you do that. But today I can't say that the internet is less good than Shadchanim. Unfortunately, Shadchanim have proven themselves that the internet is unreliable, and so are Shadchanim. So I don't know. I don't know what to tell, guys. I'm very scared of the internet because, again, we've had a tremendous number of horror stories, and girls can fabricate whatever they want on the internet. And I'm not only talking about their age and their weight. I'm also talking about their jobs, where women have lied extensively about what they're doing in life. Again, you got to do due diligence, which we'll discuss in a minute. So that's option two. I don't know which is better, the internet or a shadchan. I'd still like to believe that a shadchan is better than the internet. I would put a shadchan higher up than the internet, but I'm not sure if that's logic or my personal bias. I don't know. I don't know anymore after what I've seen. I don't know. Yes. Yeah.
What about like internet sites that when you go through a shadchan on the site?
Right. So theoretically, that should be better. What's that called? Soyu at Sinai?
Yeah.
Right. So they have shadchanim, but I don't know how much due diligence the shadchanim really do.
Right. Okay.
Meaning, will the shadchan really know if she's been divorced three times? So again, that has very limited reliability. You still have to do due diligence, which we'll discuss in a minute. Okay. So basically, we've covered the don'ts and the do's, and now we go on to the how to's. Okay. So they call you up. And they tell you, we got a girl, and are you interested in meeting her? So, next step. You got to own one of these things. I'm not in the office. Okay. Back in the day, when I was your age, you know, when they still had dinosaurs roaming the country, so there were these things, you guys probably know them. This is called a pen. And they had these things called notebooks. You know, you'd write. Not this, but this. Now, you might be able to adapt this in one of these thingies that you type on, right? I guess they're called a computer, right? But I'm going to work with the notebook the old-fashioned way. I hear in antique shops you could still pick up one. I hear there's one just around the corner. It's called the stationery store. You guys can go out there and get a notebook. It's not that expensive considering it's an antique. You got to really figure you're getting a good deal. For about 7 shekel, 8 shekel, you get yourself a notebook. Get a notebook. Nice big notebook. And the advantage of a notebook is that the pages aren't going to go flying all around. You walk around with notes in this pocket and that pocket, and then they go in the wash. Finished. You're lost. Why is it important to have a notebook? Well, let me tell you, I have a notebook that's over a decade old. And I'm still setting up girls that I was set up with 14 years ago. 14, 15 years ago, there were girls who I was set up with. And unfortunately, they're still single. And I could still set them up. And I have accurate information because I did it in a notebook. If I'd have loose papers, then forget it. It's gone. You move once, you move twice. You have things spill on the table and papers go everywhere. Get a loose leaf. Get a notebook, not a loose leaf, a notebook. Now, in this notebook, on page 1, you got to write a format of how you're going to fill in all the pages. So, do we have a piece of paper here? I prefer a notebook. You could do a template on your computer and then fill in a template and that way and start saving those files. I transfer to computer, meaning the truth is that today, when I deal with shidduchim, I have a template, a shidduch template, and I do work with I work with a computer. But I think for you guys, it might be more practical to have a notebook. Toda rava. Okay, so we have the top of the page. On the top of the page, in the center, goes the name of the girl. Right next, it goes her age. On the top right goes the date in which you spoke to them. Because like me, I hope that in 15 years you'll still have this paper. And if the age over here says 21, in 15 years it's 36. So I hope all these girls get married before that. But you have to write a date. Right under that, you write the name of the person who's setting you up and how they know the girl and their phone number. I also like to write until what time I could call them. Here in Israel, people will tell you, I'm up really late, don't worry about it. And you say, what's really late? And they say, no, I'm up really late. You could call till 10. And they're serious. They're very serious. Here in Israel, you know, ask them, what times can I call you? You don't want to call at 11 o'clock. They said really late. And they're really upset at you. Again, I learned this the hard way. In my day, you weren't allowed to call between 2 and 4. Today, I think that's been nullified. But go back a decade and a half, and in this country, you were considered a brute if you ever called someone between 2 and 4. Everyone's resting. What's wrong with you? You call between 2 and 4. Okay, so I always used to like to ask, and I'd make a note, on what hours can I reach you? Okay? Now, it's important on the date to be accurate, because if they offered you a girl on Sunday, you want to know how much time you have. You'll see, sometimes you go 2 weeks without an offer, 2 months without an offer, and then one day, 15 people offer you different girls. And you got to get back to all of them. So you sort of want to know when they offered it. And also, it'll give you a gauge, if you come back to them in 6 months, was the information accurate? If they tell you in the month of June, now they say, you know, she's not sure what she's doing with herself. So that has one meaning, because it's the end of the year. She has to decide what she's doing next year. But if in 4 months from now you call them back, and then she's still not sure what she's doing with herself, so that has a slightly different meaning. If you have the date, you know what you're talking about. So the date is very important. So we have over here, okay, the date, the girl's name, her age, and right under that, the guy who offered it, and his telephone number. Now, right after that, and what times you could reach them, right after that, just write everything they tell you. Don't ask questions at first. Listen to the Shadchan offers, listen to everything they have to say. When they're done telling you everything they have to say, if you have questions about the girl, ask them. But then at the bottom of the page, you should have a section where you ask them, do you know the rest of the family? Do you know her parents? Do you know her siblings? Do you know what her father does? Do you know what her mother does? Do you know what her siblings do? Now, this will give you a much broader picture of who the person is. We had a student here. Okay, I shouldn't tell the story. Whatever. It gives you a broad picture. It's very worthwhile to know. You want to know. It's slightly different knowing that she's learning in seminary here. She has a sister in Harvard, a brother in Cambridge, and her father's a professor of mathematics at Cooper Union. That gives you one picture. It's a slightly different picture if she has a sister in a prison, a brother who's on drug rehabilitation, and her father's in the psychiatric ward in Bellevue. Slightly different picture. She might be the same gem. But you're going to have a different picture when you're dating her. You're going to have a different picture in all your conversations. So it pays to know. After you finish that, so you have that information, here's the pivotal point. You ask for two references, two people that know the girl. And here's a pointer that I hold very strongly by, and that is, don't trust teachers. You can call them, but don't trust them. Teacher has a very limited view of the student. People call me for recommendations for you guys, I say the same thing. I tell them, look, I'm about to tell you a lot of wonderful things, but I give the same disclaimer and the same introduction for every guy. Nothing personal. But I had a student here who I gave great recommendations for. And then I found out that he was once sitting right here in the park across from the yeshiva having a conversation with someone who got him upset. And he got so upset that he got up and started choking the guy. So they're having an argument and he gets up and puts his hand around his neck and starts choking him. Now, I never saw him get angry, not once. If you would have asked me, I would have said he's the most docile creature there is. So what does that teach me? That there's a difference between the way a guy behaves in class and the way a guy behaves out of class. Makes sense, right? So when people call me for recommendations, I always give this disclaimer. I say, look, I've learned the hard way. My perspective on a person is very different than a roommate's perspective, a friend's perspective. I'll tell you all the good things I can. But at the end of the day, my perspective is limited. I tell you guys the same thing. You want to know who a girl is, talk to her roommates. When you finish with the shadchanit, what you really need from the shadchan or shadchanit or whoever's offering the girl, what you need to hear is, who are two friends who I can call to hear about the girl? And that's where you'll get your real information. Now, in a minute we'll discuss how you get around the problems with that. But very often the shadchan or shadchanit will say, gee, I don't have friends, but I have a teacher. So take down the teacher's name, take whatever information they have, because that has an added benefit. Because you could call the teacher, and don't give too much weight to anything the teacher says. But you can ask the teacher, do you know who her friends are? Could you give me the names and numbers of two friends? And the teacher should be able to give you that. So even if the shadchanit can't give you that, very often the teacher can give you that. And that's where you start getting real information. So we said, you write this whole list, and then you ask about the parents and family, and then you go on to who are the friends I can call as references. Yes. Just a second. He was waiting first. Yeah.
With regards to all of these people to try to get information of the people, what's not to say that they're either A, going to tell the truth, B, going to blow you off for a second, and then say, oh, so-and-so is just calling to get information about you. What do you want me
right.
to tell them?
Right. 100%. We'll get to that in a second. Give me a second. We'll get back to that. Yeah.
Like, do you tell a person that you're going to call these people?
Of course you're going to call these people. What are you getting the numbers for, if not that?
I mean, you don't get it from her. You're not getting it from the girl.
What difference does it make?
I mean, I've never been on a shit update, but if I do go on a shit update, and then, like, a bunch of my friends call me and said, hey, this girl just called asking about you, I don't know, I think it's weird.
Takes getting used to, that's true. So choose two friends. Give her their numbers. Right.
Can you ask for her friend's numbers?
Again?
She can prep them.
She can prep them. In a second, we'll discuss how you get around that. For sure she can prep her friends. Right. We're assuming she's prepping her friends. We're assuming whatever numbers she's given, she's prepped them. Right. In a second, I'll tell you. Just 1 second. Okay. So now comes step two. You're going to call the friends. When you're going to call the friends, you have to bear a few things in mind. Right, she might have prepped them, right? Don't tell them I had that abortion. I don't want him to know about that boyfriend, right? True story, anyways. Halvayit, we're only one. Yes, so the girl might have prepped her friends, right? So how do we get around that? Preparation. First preparation is call from a phone where you have klita, reception. Don't go from a cell phone when you're traveling and you know you might lose reception mid-conversation and that gives her an opportunity to call her friend back, the girl. Don't go from stupid places where you can't have a normal conversation. Go sit down, take out your notebook, and have a conversation. Back in my day, we went to one of these, you know, there's these machines where you pick up the receiver and you push on buttons. You know, it's called a telephone. And they're connected to a cord. You guys might have seen these in your parents' house, right? So they still have them. You can get a telecard. You could get a calling card. Believe that's how I did it. In my day, we didn't have a cell phone. You went to a payphone and you dialed. You did it on a calling card, okay? But you dialed. So I'm a believer in using corded phones because there you could hear better and you don't lose reception and you're actually focused. You're not doing 1,000 things. I believe that's the way to look into a girl. You want to use your cell phone, so go to the park bench, go to a quiet place where you can actually concentrate and you can work for a half hour straight. And here's why. Because you're going to call her friend. And her friend is going to answer the phone and you're going to say, hi, I got your number about Shani Sprintzowitz. I was wondering if I could take a few minutes of your time to hear about her. Now, the first thing you should ask the girl is, am I catching you at a convenient time? Could be that she's on the subway, she's in the middle of talking to friends. Could be she's standing right next to Shani Sprintzowitz and she doesn't feel comfortable talking to you about her right now. So it's legitimate for her to say, you know, right now is not so convenient. Does it work for you if we talk tonight? But in order to preclude her doing some research, I prefer saying, you know, I got your number as a reference about one of your friends. I was wondering when would be a convenient time for me to call. I didn't tell her who I'm calling her about, which friend. I just said, I do want to ask her as a reference, when is a convenient time? Sometimes she has to enter class in 5 minutes. You don't want to talk to her then. You want to have a conversation when she could say whatever she has to say. So the first thing to do is ask her if it's a convenient time. Step two. It's a convenient time, you're talking. Step two is the skill of repeating the same question using different words. So you call her up and she says, gee, she's a great girl, she's a wonderful girl, she's fantastic, she's excellent, what else do you want to know? Notice she hasn't told you anything, but what else do you want to know? And you say, well, I'd like to know a little bit more about her. Now you're going to spend the next 10 minutes saying the same question in different words. And that's how you get information. And you're going to hear her say a few more superlatives, a few more adjectives, and then say, gee, I'm really not good at this. Can you tell me what you want to know? And then you're going to ask the same question with different words, and she's going to say, gee, I'm really not good at this. Could you tell me what you want to know? And here's the way the conversation goes. I was wondering if you could tell me more about Johnny Sprintzowitz. Well, she's a very nice girl. She's a very caring girl. She's a fun girl. What else do you want to know? Well, I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit more about her personality. She's outgoing, she's friendly, she's warm. What else do you want to know? Well, I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit more about what she's like. Well, she's a lot of fun to be around. You know, we go on trips together, and she's always the one who takes care of all the arrangements for the trips. And on the last trip, someone got hurt, and she knew all the first aid, and she took care of them, and she even went with them to the hospital. What else do you want to know? Well, I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about what type of person she is. Notice, same question, just different words. What type of person she is, what's she like, what's her personality like, could you describe her to me, could you tell me a little bit more about her? Same question. But the girls are always like, ask me specific questions. And don't ask specific questions. You got to keep asking the same question with different words, and you'll keep getting more information. You just got to keep them going. Could you tell me a little bit more? Could you give me some specific examples? Could you tell me some stories about her? Could you tell me about some experiences you had with her? Keep it general. The more you keep it general, the less she knows what you want to hear. Now, maybe you want a quiet girl. Maybe you want an outgoing girl. Maybe you want a girl that's super firm. Maybe you want a girl that's super modern. She doesn't know because you haven't asked the specific question. You just listen and write down everything she says. That's why you have a notebook. Write. Okay, if you have to, type. Say that. Take down all her information. After you've gone for 5 to 7 minutes without telling her a word about who you are, and some girls will do this to you, they'll say, can you tell me a little bit about yourself and I'll tell you if the match makes sense to me. And you could say, well, I was in a series that dealt with exactly giving advice on how to do this and they recommended not doing that. Blame me, come on, finish. Don't go that route. She should not decide for you whether this match makes sense. It's none of her business. If you wanted her as a shotgun, you would have looked her up. Oh, this happens often. This happens often. Sometimes guys ask me to look into a girl, and then someone on her end will do this to me. But, okay, you've done this, and then you ask, what's your relationship with her? How long have you known her for? Oh, we only know one another for 2 weeks. So you know that all your information is basically irrelevant. And you wonder, why did they give me a reference, a girl that only knows her for 2 weeks, right? That also says something. How long have you known her for? How well do you know her? Do you know her family? Have you ever been there for Shabbos? Can you tell me a little bit about her family and her home? You start getting a broader picture. You start understanding who the person is. It's very tempting to date every girl they set you up with. It's very tempting to date every guy they set you up with. If you end up dating only 3 guys, that's fine. If you end up dating 300 guys, that's not so good. You don't know how long you're in this for. And you got to save your strength. If you work with the system I've told you, very often you can clarify. 3 out of 4 offers, you could clarify that they're not it. I could tell you I was working that rate. 75% I was able to nix without a date. So you try to find out and save yourself the time of going out on that date because every date takes something out of you. At the end of the day, we have a limited amount of strength, emotional strength. You go out on a date, you tell about yourself again. By the time you reach your wife, it's like, just push the button, I'll tell the story. Well, I was born here and I grew up there. Yeah, okay. You don't want to be like that. You want to still be interesting and interested. And not that you go out on the date and it's like, okay, yeah. Oh boy, very interesting, right? Yeah. I've heard of 30 other girls who did this too, right? No, you want to be alive. And people get burnt out. So it's important to look into the girl beforehand so you don't get burnt out. Nix it on the phone with the shadchan and don't waste your strengths schlepping out and going and dating 50 girls needlessly. I dated 50 girls, over 50 girls. But I nixed over 150 girls. So imagine if I would have dated 200 girls. I don't know if I'd be able to give this class. Okay. So you get all this information. You want to know how well she knows her, how long she knows her for, what her relationship with her is. And now comes the key point, and this is the whole secret in the game. And that's why I said take a half hour slot. You tell her, look, you gave me a lot of information. I really appreciate it. I feel like I would really want another vantage point. Could you tell me someone else that knows her? Now, if her friend prepped her, she prepped her with everything but this. I've never seen a girl that was prepped with which names to give. And very often she'll give the other name you have on your list. And you could say, you know, I tried that girl. I didn't get through. Or she's very hard to get hold of. Or you could say, you know, can you give me another name? You don't even have to explain why. Do you mind giving me another name or two? If she gave you the name you already have, that other girl that might have been prepped, and here's the key. When you hang up the phone with her, you dial as fast as you can to that other girl. I've already dialed that other girl only to have mamtina, you know, call waiting. And by the time I got through, it was fairly obvious that she'd been prepped too. I've already had that happen to me. Now, and suddenly she's saying the same thing the first girl said, and it just sounds too familiar. It's like you realize something's... And really, in that case, something had gone awry. Meaning, fortunately for me, that girl said was always busy when I wanted. I agreed, even though the story seemed fishy. But that's why it's important. You follow up, and you have two numbers to follow up, meaning the advantage of asking her for two numbers is that she can only call one of them when she hangs up with you. Meaning if she's going to prep them and say, you know, I didn't tell the guy that she had an abortion, and she can only do that with one. She gave you two numbers, right? So if you call one and there's call waiting, call the other one right away. Yeah?
You think you're recommendable to do this research, like calling friends and getting information before you begin to date, or this is like after dating once or a few times?
My recommendation is very strongly before you begin.
Oh, okay.
Because this way you save your time and energy. There's a second stage of looking into things, and that's after you see this has potential. But for starters, yeah. You could save a ton of time. I know people who were able to rule out 9 out of 10 girls. And they also dated 60, 70 girls before they got married. Imagine dating 700 girls. I know people who were that good in looking into girls. They were able to rule out 9 out of 10 offers. It saves a lot of time and energy. And I'm talking about emotional energy. You don't want to go out with every girl that they try to set you up with. Okay, so today we discussed what are the do's and don'ts of how to get a shidduch. We discussed talking to your friends about setting you up, and if necessary, reminding them again and again and again. Don't be too much of a nudnik so that they set you up with a girl that's not a nudnik. But you should remind them. And we discussed the dangers of internet dating. I do not recommend dating a girl at all online. Not once, not ever. If it's worth dating, go out and meet her. I can understand that if you live, you live in Chicago, she lives in New York, I don't buy it. Go date. The internet is very fallacious, as we will discuss later. When I say using the internet sites, I mean to find a girl who you will date face to face, not through the internet. Internet and shadchanim have the potential to change the facts, to be untruthful. And so it's very recommended you do due diligence. Any girl that you're offered to be set up with, it's recommended you do due diligence. We discussed having a notebook, writing down all the information the shadchan said. And then we said you call up her friend when you have time to follow up with the next friend. Now, usually when you have two vantage points, the two friends, then you compare the two pages. And you see, if they're very similar, then it makes sense. I don't think you have to call more than two friends before going out with the girl. One that might have been prepped, and one that couldn't have been prepped. Once you have that, I'm comfortable going out. I don't think you need more than that. Every person you call, you ask for two more numbers. And this way, in the future, if you'll see it's really getting serious, like Ari said, you'll want to look into it some more, you have that option. But I don't think you need more than that. If it makes sense and you have that and the information sounds legitimate, you have the shadchan's recommendation, hopefully they're relatively honest or not too dishonest, so then you can start, and this is where we'll pick up Bezant Shem next week.